Hi, this is Bonnie Gillespie, and you're tuned in to The Work.
Jen Page, thank you so much for joining us on The Work. I'm so happy you're here.
Oh my gosh, I've been looking forward to this like since we talked about it. Are you kidding?
Yay!
So, it's like better than cards. It's better than playing cards against humanity because we can just, you know, we don't have to have all the other weirdos chiming in.
I would like to say if this turns into a game of cards against humanity, I don't object.
Well, we both have our decks. It might get crazy.
It's really true. So Jen, tell me about your history, like the spark. What caused you to come into this industry and become a creative? You know, I was scrolling through your IMDb and just, I'm blown away at how much you are always on the hustle. What is it that got you going from the very beginning, even before the stuff that shows up in the IMDb place that we can check out?
Well, I hate to admit this, but since this is an actor safe environment, I started as an actor a million years ago, graduated college with my theater degree and went to New York immediately after college and literally booked every role I auditioned for. Every
that doesn't happen.
And I, you know, part of it's the naive, like, I'm still, you're like, I'm here in New York and everybody loves everybody. But even like there was one film that won Scream Fest, best student film. And I didn't know at the time that Scream Fest was even a big deal. Now it's like the Oscars of horror movies, but all this insanely awesome stuff happened in New York, including my best friend's show, the guys I met in New York, their show got bought by Fox. And so I was like, well, I'm going to go hang out with you guys all summer long on the, you know, the studio lot with Sarah Silverman and Seth Green. And you're an actor and you're like, I don't know, how old was I? 21, maybe 22. That's like a dream. Mm-hmm. So I followed them out here and I ended up getting a job at Universal Studios as a tour guide. And I never left. That was 2001.
So tell me what it is that got Self-Management for Actors on your radar, or me personally, like how did we intersect from what you recall? Because I know we were talking about this before we started the actual broadcast here. What do you remember, a moment where you went, oh yeah, this is something that I need to like connect with?
The thing is, I feel like by the time I met you, what year did you say that was? It was like 2010.
Yeah.
So by the time I had connected with you, I had made that transition. Because what happened was I came to LA after all those booking every role, and I couldn't even get an audition here. Like, I couldn't figure out how to get in a room of any kind, not student films, not agents. And it was killing me. And I actually, ironically, coincidentally, I don't know, I took this sort of acting for a business of acting class, however you want to call it, with a spitfiery redheaded woman that I don't even remember her name. But I always, when I see you, I always think of this woman who I don't even think is doing it anymore, but she changed my mind. She was like, you guys have to make your own work. But this was before other people were doing it. This is 2003.
Oh, yeah. So, nobody was talking about that back then. No, no.
So it just, I was like, I'm going to make a production company so that I can make things I can be in. And we got people to come out in droves to make really high quality short films for no money because nobody was doing it. So everybody wanted to be involved, which just sort of led me on my path to producing, which led me on my path to directing. And I think right around 2010 when we met was when I was getting at this place of, I really want to help other actors do what I did. Like get over this hump, figure out a way to get footage, whatever it was. I started Real Star Makers to help actors shoot high quality reels. And somewhere along the line, you must have come on my radar. And I was like, I just know I love this woman. She is telling actors what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And that's why I think I reached out. Like, we need to figure out what synergy is here, because I knew there was something. And then you came in, we did those videos for Real Star Makers. We just gave little tidbits and then we fell in love.
And then we found our Cards Against Humanity. Like that became our our spirit animal in Vegas a couple years ago.
Well, stay in Vegas, Bonnie.
Oh, that's true. I'm not supposed to talk about what happened in Vegas. You're right. You're right. Tell me what your mission is, Jen. If you, because we're both former actors here, I am very clear on my mission is leave this industry better than I found it. And I don't fucking care what that means my footprint is, other than, God, can I just help folks have a better experience? Because there's so much pain involved with being a creative in this business. You, also former actor, but you've created so much out from the directing, the writing, the producing, the creative content of it all. What would you say that your mission is, if there is one, of how this business is going to be left once you're done with it?
I feel like that's so much pressure. I need a brilliant answer right now. I always, my thing is just in general in life is put out positivity and light. And it's weird because I've felt a shift in the universe lately where I've been feeling really, there's been a lot of friction in my professional career, my personal life. And I realized that it's just time for change again. So instead of getting, what happens a lot of times in this town is people at this point, they get unhappy or frustrated, they go back home, whatever it is. I mean, lucky for me, there's no go back home. LA is home for me, so I'm here. And I have my dreams of getting a house on the lake for $600 a month, but you know, what am I gonna do there? I'm gonna still try to make movies, so might as well be here. but I have those moments, and then I think, well, I'm not the only one. So even as far as like Facebook goes, for instance, or social media, I don't ever post negative things, but if I'm feeling this, I do post change is coming. If you're in the middle of this feeling, it's going to be better, because I always just want to give positivity and light. And I found that on my last few sets, I wasn't happy. I was actually, there was points where I was yelling and that wasn't me. I was very, very unhappy. And that's, again, I just knew that there needed to be time for change. So I guess my mission is just to always recognize that in myself and in others. And and that other person who may be causing friction, for instance, that doesn't mean they're even a bad person. It just means we need to separate our paths, maybe, or not, you know, like whatever it may be. Maybe that film is causing friction. Well, I need to find a way to hand it off. So I guess I just always want to give that out, as well as when I see other people needing something, I bring them in. Like I probably would make more money in this business if I would be more selfish. It's like a problem I have, because I'm always trying to help. I want other people to succeed as well. So, I mean, I may think of this later and go, no, this is really my big mission, but that's kind of where I feel right now at this minute in my life.
I'm so with you, girl, on that, because I go, oh my God, I would have bajillion dollars if I would just X, Y, Z, and I can see it and I know that it exists, but it's like, I, in the end, need to feel really good about what I'm creating in the world and the people that I'm jamming with. And yeah. This, especially Jen, when I took a look at your IMDb and was going through and looking at the people that we have in common and the people that you've worked with that I aspire to work with and the people that I've worked with that I can't wait to get on your radar, I am really paying attention to how much fun you're having on the journey. And I kind of want to talk about the joy of the pursuit. Yes. Is that something that comes into your decision-making when you're choosing which project you want to say yes to, or, you know, what's next on your radar?
That's actually something that I've learned really recently in my life, probably in the last year. And I've actually been instilling it in some of my people. Like Jenna Edwards and I had a call today, and she's been on this path too.
Yeah.
Where I was so unhappy in so many projects lately. And I think it's because we get on this thing where we're like, and I know actors do this a lot. Like, oh my gosh, finally I get to be in something. I haven't been in something for a year, even though you know that project isn't right. You feel something in your gut that says this is going to be a miserable experience for whatever reason, and you still do it. So I start to do this thing now where I sit quietly And I go, why am I feeling this? Is it fear because it's bigger and it's unknown and I'm unsure of myself? If that's the case, I go all the way, balls in, let's do it. But if I'm like, no, there's something about this producer or this script, or it just doesn't feel right, even if the money is really good, I have to say no, because you get in the middle and you're stuck. Especially with me, I take out a feature film and I'm just stuck in hell for the longest time because I didn't say no. And it might have been something else that came in there. If I would have
said, how do you know though? What is the gut check of it? I mean,
I think women are really good at knowing. I think women are, we are the most intuitive creatures and we know the feeling. And we are also the first to ignore the feeling. I wonder if guys feel this as well, but it really just is that moment of just being quiet and being like, why do I feel icky about this? This doesn't feel right. You just know. And we ignore those signs all the time. Like, there's so many times I'm just like, I saw this sign 2 years ago, you know, and I just ignored it or whatever it is. I saw this sign whenever I had a meeting with the two producers and that one producer was really stubborn, but I was like, no, it's okay. We're going to make a movie.
So two things. One, my mom had a mantra, which was, if it's not an immediate yes, it's a no. And I loved that because I was like,
I would even take it further to go, if it's not an immediate hell yes,
then it's a hell no. Right. And then the other was, I had an assistant that worked for me for a couple of years. And I remember she was working on her project that she was like, this is going to be my thing. And I'm going to fucking make it happen. And I'm watching her work so hard. And I was like, sweetie, this is going to be something that you can make happen because you're working really hard on it, or in spite of the fact that you're putting all this work into it. I don't think that this is your thing. And maybe you need to back off from it and go, okay, this wasn't something that I needed to put all this energy into. And she's like, no, I care enough about it. I'm going to make it happen. And I'm like, how much of the time do we create something because we keep pushing energy into it and realize that maybe it's the in spite of it all that it happens rather than because of it all that it happens?
I actually feel really strongly that, and again, this is a conversation that came up today. I really feel like there's some kind of weird planetary thing happening right now that's causing a lot of people to shift, because the people around me, everyone's going through something really that feels pretty traumatic, but I see that it's good for them, which is why I have to look at myself and go, well, it must be good for me too, even though it feels awful. But it's that, I've already lost my train of thought. What did you just say?
About the, it happens in spite of what you do versus
so what I, because what of what I, you do. My lesson today was, and this is, I will credit Jenna Edwards for this, what happened today, but she basically said, I want to make a meme of this and I'm going to mess up the wording, but it was something like, if you're putting as much energy into that thing that you hate or that's driving you crazy or that other person or that relationship or whatever, that if you would put that same energy into yourself, into your career, into the thing you love, you would be rich by now.
Love me some Jenna Edwards. Right? That is brilliant. No, that's so good.
Yeah. And it like really, like I almost started to cry when she said it, because I'm like, you're right. I'm putting way too much energy into all the wrong things.
So let's talk about the energetic flow of everything. How do you choose the projects that you're excited about? Because I mean, you're a fucking rock star, Jen. When I look at the work that you've done, you are a nonstop, never stop machine of work. What is your go-to gut reaction on deciding what is going to be the next thing that you work on? What aligns you with your next project?
A lot of it is people. I'll be honest. Like, yes, I want a script to be great.
Yeah.
But I usually say yes because I love the people involved, because you're going to work with those people. And a script can be amazing. And if you hate the people and they suck, you're not going to enjoy it. So, like for instance, the breakout, a rock opera.
Yeah.
I never met Chris. We never even met in person before I took the job. It was a phone call. And he's like, so Leah McKendrick said I should call you. So number one, Leah McKendrick, an amazing sweetheart of a person. So if she's sending somebody, I'm already like, okay, I'm listening. He says, I have a rock opera. You can't even finish that sentence. And I'm like, yes, I'm in. It's because I mean, you're suddenly excited. And if you feel that excited about something, it can't possibly be a bad thing, right? It can't lead you wrong. But again, you know, there was still, even with the rock opera, we still didn't have enough time. We still didn't have enough money. We still have, there was a lot of tension on set because of it. But we had rock stars around us and amazing people, and they were so sweet and so kind and hardworking and to the point of like hurting themselves and still keeping going. And now we have a movie that's premiering. It's actually my biggest premiere. I've been doing this 22 years, and I'm finally premiering at the freaking Chinese Theater in Hollywood.
So talk about that. Tell us everything that we need to know about what's coming up and what we can do to support where you're about to premiere. Because that's
huge. Well, the first thing is, if people will just like, I need like a group of people to just like hold my hand and tell me it's going to be fine. Go to the screening and lie to me and tell me it was amazing.
Why do you say lie to me? It's not a lie.
Look, I mean, I think every actor and director at least goes through this. Like this is the first time in a long time that I have been really proud of a movie. I know it has problems because I know what we're up against, but I'm still really proud of it. So I feel like I'm putting my baby out there for people to now see, and I hope it's not an ugly baby.
Is it your former actor self that makes you think that there needs to be more criticism than there probably should be?
I think even directors, we get that because
really,
I mean, ultimately I'm responsible for the whole thing. So if an actor has a bad acting moment, that's my fault. Even if they just, no matter what I did, they couldn't bring it. You know, if the color is off in a scene, that's my fault. Even though I knew we were out of time and I had 30 minutes to shoot it and we hustled our asses for the other scenes. Like, it's all my fault. Now, if the picture wins best Oscar and stuff, then it's the
then it's all your credit.
It's all the producer's credit. I only get the credit if it's my fault. But no, I mean, I would love so much for people to come out. If I don't know who's going to hear this before June 3rd, but it premieres June 3rd. And we go to seethebreakout.com and you can buy tickets. And I swear, anybody who says that they've come because they're there for me, I will buy them a drink. I will rope off a seat for them to sit around me in a positive energy bubble and buy them a drink afterwards.
That's amazing. I love it. That's that whole like, oh my God, I so want everybody to appreciate the positive of what you're creating. And I love that you have so much excited energy for the things that you're putting your efforts into. What is the no line for you? Do you know what I mean when I say your no line? Because this is something that we do in self-management for actors is like, no, what is that space that you say, if it looks like this, that's a no. And that's my no line.
I actually
line.
Have a great diagram. I wish this was the iTunes would be visual because I want to show. But for anybody here watching, but I'll try to explain it in words. This has actually changed everything for me. So imagine a little dot at the bottom of my screen. And that dot is where I am now. Now, I have two dots at the top of the screen that make a V if you drew a line from the bottom. So you have these lines drawing up. One side of the V goes to directing for studio films. The other side of the V goes to a dot that is directing for television because I need to make money because films are too far and few between.
Yes.
So someone could come to me and say, hey, like right now I am producing and going to direct this reality show that is for Fashion One. And someone would go, why are you doing reality? And I'll go, well, if I say, is it on one of these lines? Is it on one of these lines? It's the path to one of these dots. Well, it leads me to directing TV and I get my first network show. Also, it's all behind the scenes with massive, major costume designers. Like right now, we're going to talk to Eduardo Castro. Me and Malia Molina are taking him to dinner and he's already introduced his big people. And then we can go behind the scenes of these sets. It's like, yes, that is on my line, direct line to TV. Yeah. Now, if someone says, will you, I don't know, direct this short film for me, it's $1,000 and it might end up being 3 months of your life, but you'll get the $1,000 now. And it's about, I don't know, a rape scene or something. And I would be like, that is so far off of my line. And I may need to pay my rent right now, but that's so far off of my line to the film path that I want to do that I have to say no. I know this is tricky for people listening. It's much more of a visual thing. But I basically say, whatever that line is from where I am now to where I'm going, if it's not on that line, it's not taking me to that place, it's just not worth the energy. Let me find the thing that's on the line that can propel me forward.
But don't you think that's something that every creative needs to kind of center themselves on and have that conversation? One of the things that I want to talk about in this podcast is, how do you balance yourself as an artist? Like, what is that thing that helps you navigate through every fucking day when you have those moments that you're just like, oh, everything sucks? Like,
having that day to day.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, I appreciate that you were able to join us on a day that you were having that.
Oh my gosh, this is what got me through the day. Here's the thing.
Because those days are going to exist. What the fuck do we do?
That's what I was saying before. I have had a lot of those the last few months. I think there's a shift coming, a major shift in my career, and that's why. And I look at, that's one thing I do, is I go, okay, something is off and there's friction, so let me just try to go with this flow. And I know, especially with actors, they have these days where, I mean, I go through it as a director, that you're like, I don't know how I'm paying rent right now because I've said no to so many projects, or I haven't had a real gig, or whatever it is you're going through. Right. And you have to go, it's okay. It always works out. I've always figured a way to pay my rent. You know, these little things that seem so basic, those are the first step of getting through those days. The other most important thing, I think, in my mind, is having amazing people around you. Like, we actually, the night that we did Ka was a big, you know, I need a lot of hugs night. Everybody better freaking show up.
For those who don't know what Ka is, it's Cards Against Humanity, and it is amazing. Yes.
Yes. So, don't play it with your parents.
No, never.
Mine's mom goes, I mean, people play it with their parents. such a weird thing. But I think if you surround yourself with the right people, and there's people too that we hang on to in our lives for a really long time that we know are not bringing us joy. And it is really hard to release ourselves from those people. And sometimes it's because, like, but he's the studio executive at Fox. Guess what? He's not bringing you joy, you know, for whatever reason that is. You've got to let it go. And that's another thing, especially with actors. I think that they're the worst at this. And I try to, luckily, I can take my friends and kind of shake them, and, you know, but they're the worst at being like, but I need that person. I need that thing. And it's like, you don't need anybody, because the minute you need something, it's getting further and further away from you. And I feel like you asked me, like, how do you get the hustle? How do you get so much work? I think it's just because I'm just who I am. I don't ask anybody for things. To my detriment, sometimes I get yelled at because I don't ask for anything ever. I don't want to need for anything. I just want everybody to be happy and have a good time. And people want to work with that kind of person. And that's why a lot of your actors, if we're going to go there right now, the self-management actors, there's a reason that they keep getting called by me. Because they're the first ones to show up on set with a good attitude, first of all. Like, I will say, Sarah Egan is I gotta call her out, because she will be like, what do you need? I am there. I'm like,
she shows up with gluten-free cookies.
She does. Like, she bakes for you. Like, what? I think Deb Smith bakes for you too on her set.
It's true. She does as well. That's true. We have a few ninjas that are like, hi, here I am, and here are the cookies that I made.
See, but that's what I'm saying. It's that extra little step to be like, I know today could be tense. I know whatever. And I'm coming with some sunshine and a positive attitude. What do you need me to do? I remember when Tim came on and he was like, I'll come and just do photos for you on your set. And you think I ever forget that? I don't. Part of me has a guilt complex, so I always feel like I need to cast actors who have helped me in some way. So use the guilt, guys.
But it's not even the guilt complex. It's that we're not retiring tomorrow, Jen.
Right.
Like, we're in this for fucking at least 4 more decades, I hope. I mean, right. We're young enough that this is not over anytime soon. So, oh my God, these people who are rock stars in our lives today are going to be rewarded tomorrow and the next day and the next.
And I will tell you, Sarah's the reason I bring her up is because she volunteered for me. I don't know how many times she volunteered for an actor reel. She volunteered to be background for free. Who's the first person I hired the minute I could pay for anything? You know, that's what happens to my people. And now I'm at the point where I don't ask, I never have actors work for free ever, but on our low budgets, often background, we have to ask for favors.
Yeah.
So those people who come out and do that with a good attitude, I don't know, like, I just don't forget that. And your actors do that, but they'll do more than that. They'll come out and be like, can I take pictures? Can I move this? It's like, sometimes I have to be like, y'all need to sit down and be an actor. Like,
no,
I don't want you to be hurt. Okay.
They're like, no, I'm a ninja. I will pick up this thing. Yes. And I will. Yeah. Right. So, all right, Jen, on that, what does somebody who's at the beginning of their game, what do they need to do? Because I think so many people who are listening to this might go, well, I don't know where there's something of value for me. What is it that folks need to buy in on and be okay with? And like, what do they need to look for so that they know where they're headed? Long game. I don't know if you can actually structure that out, but
if I understand what you're asking, it's just basically like say someone's new in town and they're a little overwhelmed and
because there are so many options, mm-hmm. and they go like, should I do the student film? Should I do the non-union
Honestly,
thing?
It's so bad that I would get so many requests from actors that I actually had to start a consulting thing where I now have to charge per hour for this.
Okay.
But, because it's such a need, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like actors are so confused when they get here. So I just was like, you know what, let me just make it into a little business. And what happens is we sit down and we just go through, I figure out who they are and what their passion, same thing with the actor reels. It's like, what are you passionate about? What do you want to be doing? Because you could spend all the time in the world trying to get in here and throwing balls everywhere to never have anything happen. So why not find that direct path? You know, even with like trying to get an agent or meet casting directors, I have this, I kind of go this other way where I figure you should, you know, you start with your circle of people, finding out who they like and who is good. You go to IMDb Pro and you find out, I'm sure you do this too. You know, you find out where, I always say, stop looking at who's representing the stars of the television show you want to be on. Who is representing the guest star, that day player? Who's representing that person? Find out who their agent is.
Right on.
And then I'm sure also is what you do. I'm always like, you have to send them the congrats on their actor being in the show, not the please help me. I mean, these are like the basic things that I feel like a lot of actors don't do. They come in and they just start, spending money on everything and mass mailings. And
we call that slinging spaghetti at the wall.
That's like, great.
It's just like
hoping something sticks.
Yeah.
I love it. No, that's great. So I mean, like, there is no, unfortunately, there is no rule book. Not for me either as a director. I mean, I've been doing this a long time and I've done 5 feature films now. I have this film that's premiering at this big festival. We've hired a publicist. We're doing all the things you're supposed to do, but who knows if I'm going to have a job next month? Like, it's this town. So if you're not in it for the long haul, if you don't love it with all of your being, then get out. Like, it sounds bad, but it's true. You're just going to be miserable.
So where can people find you? You specifically mentioned coaching, and I want to make sure that people know how they can connect with you if they would like to consult with you. Obviously, you're on IMDb Pro and all that, but where can everybody who's listening to this connect with you?
Well, obviously, the easy place is jennpage.com, JennPage.com, because you can find all my socials, my Facebooks and my Twitters. Or Billy Ray always says
in
the Twitter.
Gen. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I'm at the Jen Page on Twitter. And I love, you know, I used to meet with everybody who asked. Now I get asked so much that I can't, but I do love meeting new people and trying. Like, I just, like you, I think, like I hate feeling like people are lost. And I want to just give them any direction I can, you know?
Well, Jen, that was the thing. Like, you reached out to me in 2010 and said, like, hi, I want to meet with you. And I was like, sure, show up here and we'll meet. If you did that today, I'd be like, nope. I think you're amazing and good luck for everything that you've got going on, but I just so don't have the bandwidth for it. Yeah. So I think it becomes really important to focus on people that can connect with you based on where you are and where they are.
Well, on that point too, I think there's two things, one of which is why it's important to volunteer for sets and not just volunteer and show up and be a ghost, like really put in the effort. I've hired so many people over and over again because they just came in and brought it. And usually they get thrown lines, all this stuff, right? Two is remember that I'm at a very low, if you have a totem pole of directors, I'm at the bottom holding the pole up, okay? So if I'm this busy and don't have time, think about the people who are above me, the directors and casting directors and producers who are doing these major movies and shows. You can't be desperate. You can't be asking them for coffee. You have to contribute to their life. So as long as you're contributing to someone's life, they're going to be appreciative and at least take notice. I think that's the biggest thing about what we're talking about.
So tell me what your goal is for the next tier. We often talk about like tier jumps and that, you know, we understand what a co-star is and we understand what a low budget indie is. And we know that like going to broadcast, going to studio, like tell me what your goal is for the next tier and what you could possibly do to take other people along with you on this journey.
One of the things that has recently happened is when Jenna was the one that was like, Jen, duh, smack you in the head. Part of the next tier is me going, okay, I have to be a little selfish right now and help myself, which is something I've never done. I'm always worried about bringing everybody along. So that's part of it. I'm trying really hard to break into the TV world and studio world. And I think as most actors are as well. And it's just as it is for actors, as for directors, there's no rule book. So I don't really know what the path is or what I'm going to be doing next. Like what exactly that tier is, but I hope that it's, you know, I have these a bunch of shows that are supposed to be happening over for Fashion One, which doesn't air in the US, but damn it if it doesn't air all over the world. So that's a tier jump for me. And I'm excited and looking forward to that. And then awesome. Of course with the breakout, you know, if we have a big fabulous premiere like we hope, then you know, who knows, maybe we'll get to tour, because a big goal for us would be able to tour the tour schools around the country and show the film and open up dialogue about mental health and feelings, you know, like, cause it's about cutting and stuff. So like things that teenagers don't talk about and nobody wants to talk about, we would love to get to do that. And that just goes back to me wanting to give back to the world. And that seems like a tiny tier to some people. Like, why would you want to tour schools? It's like, I don't know. It feels important to me right now.
No, that's huge. Love that. Jen, do you have a couple minutes to stay on for some Q&A if we have? Okay. So I know Brian, Hong, anybody who'd like to pop in, we have the hot seat. If you'd like to request space here to join us and ask some questions of the amazing Jen Page.
I saw the breakout is on.
I saw that
too. Edgar, are you on here?
I know. I was like, that's got to be related to you, right?
Yeah. I don't see him tall. He says he is. That is the Chris Edgar. He's a talented, talented composer, that one. Wait till you hear this musical.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Anybody want to hop in, ask questions? Are we good? Looks like. Nope. So this is where I go, like, let me make sure, check the da-da-da. All right. So let's do a little quick brand prov as we close off. You ready?
Probably not, but okay.
All right, pretend you are. You're getting your first red carpet experience. You are out there at your Emmy, your Oscar, your Golden Globe, whatever it is. Who's on your arm?
Whoa, that's intense. Henry Cavill. Oop, did I just say that out loud? Who else but Superman?
That's amazing. I love that. All right. What is your on-brand drink? You're at a bar, you're doing like the schmooze fest and someone is saying like, oh, here, let me get you a, what is it?
You know, what's hilarious is I'm the one at the bar drinking a Coke Slurpee. That's me.
I love that. Fantastic. Awesome. 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 All right. And then tell me what your car is. It doesn't actually mean what your actual car is. Like, what is your on-brand car? The thing that you drive up to everything.
I think I'm in like a Jeep Renegade. It's like I'm a renegade.
I like it.
I'm listening to the song now. I think we should go out with the song, but I can't sing. Damn it, Chris, you're supposed to be in the seat.
I know. Oh, okay, so then the yes and on that is, what is your on-brand theme song? What is the thing that as you walk around, this is the song that plays in the background?
It's so funny because I had this for a long time. For a while, it was Journey's Don't Stop Believing. And I actually was coming, there was a point in my life where everything seemed to be perfect. And I had sold Brownie Points, my first real short film.
Yeah.
And then I was flown to Colorado to speak for the series and meet Stephen Simon, who is now a good friend of mine, who's done all these amazing movies like What Dreams May Come and Somewhere in Time and stuff. And I swear to you, I had my headphones on, and as I'm coming up the escalator of the airport, on cue, Don't Start Believing starts playing, and I start just tears and like smiles. So that was my theme song. And right around there also, Good Life. Do you remember Good Life from
But
you know, right now it's weird, is it's gonna sound corny, but I think right now the phase of my life moving forward, right now my theme song is Roar. Some Katy Perry Roar.
Nice.
And let's see, I don't know what my next tier, my red carpet with the theme will be there, but I'm excited to find out.
Girl, I love all of this. So tell me how, and tell everyone, please, how they can stay in touch with you and what you've got going on, so that those who are listening in the podcast later on are able to connect with you going forward, please.
Of course. So once again, if you're hearing this before June 3rd or even after, because we'll always have somewhere for you to see it, seethebreakout.com. Please get tickets. Come see me. I don't usually beg, so this is a lot for me to begging.
And then, you're not begging. You're
oh,
just
I'm begging. I'm on my knees. Please, no. And then if you tweet to me at the Jen Page or go to jenpage.com and find my socials, and let's be friends and maybe hang out if you're cool people.
And like let's cool just be people. Sure everybody knows that the Jen Page, Jen has two N's.
Two N's. Because one N, Jen, is like a cheerleader, and that's weird. I have blonde hair now, kind of, but I'm not cheerleader.
I'm watching that. I don't know. It's interesting. Awesome. All right. The Jen Page, double N, is the place for everybody to connect. Jen, thank you so much for joining us on this. You're amazing. And I so appreciate everything that you've shared with all the beautiful people that we've connected with for years at this point and will continue to.
Yes.
All right, my friends, this has been Bonnie Gillespie for another episode of The Work. Thank you so much for joining me here. Please join me over at BonnieGillespie.com for all sorts of goodness between episodes. And until next time, stay ninja.